62. As part of our series that we're calling an overcoming series or overcomers, and looking at certain topics, we've done some in Sunday school. In the last few weeks, we looked at overcoming fear of the unknown, and then last week, we looked at overcoming the fear that's standing right before you. Tonight's topic, and once again, there's a lot of different verses, a lot of different areas. Most of the time in this series, we're going to look at Bible stories that we're familiar with and how they overcame depression, how they overcame injustice, how they overcame all bitterness, all those different types of things. But tonight we're actually going to look at one verse, and we're going to talk about something that is probably a very important topic because there's so many of us that struggle with this area. And you can say it's overcoming worry or overcoming anxiety. Similar, if you use the word, and I looked up the dictionary, looked up the definitions, anxiety means a feeling of worry. So I guess it's something similar. Worry means to give way to anxiety. So it's something that's similar there. And most people say, oh, everybody worries, everybody's anxious. The Bible tells us to be anxious for nothing or be careful for nothing. It's a sin to not give things over to the Lord. So a little bit lengthier definitions, the anxiety means a feeling of worry, nervousness, unease, typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. Worry is talking about give way to anxiety or unease, allow one's mind to dwell on problems. And in an overcoming life, you overcome worry and you overcome anxiety with faith. That's simply put, it's by faith. It's the presence of anxiety is not unavoidable. As we mentioned the last few weeks ago about fear, the Lord hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but there are times when we're going to be concerned, afraid about certain things. That's why we take that fear and we bring it to the Lord and we give it over to the Lord and we let our faith conquer our fear. Same thing with anxiety and worry. There are things in this world that are going to be troubling. There are going to be things in this world that we're concerned about. There are going to be things in this world that we're uneasy with and we're nervous about. It's just, what are we going to do with those things? Either we're going to allow ourselves to be placed in a prison of anxiety or we're going to release those things by trusting in the Lord. And tonight, there's just one verse that we're going to look at. I like the verse because it actually has its own outline in it. And it's just a simple verse. It's something I think you could take with you. I think it's something good that you memorize. And it's where we're going to mostly stay focused on tonight. Psalm 62, look what it says in verse number 8. Overcoming worry, overcoming anxiety, trust in the Lord at all times. That's point one. Ye people, pour out your hearts before him. That's point number two. God is a refuge for us. That's point number three. And then Selah, that's the conclusion. You're like, already there? No, we're not there. Those are just the main points, and we're going to get there. The idea of trust is to have confidence and to depend upon. So we're talking about trusting the Lord. If we truly do not want to live a life that is filled with care and anxiousness and worry, we must learn to trust the Lord. But not just trusting the Lord. And look what it says in verse number 8. It says, trust in the Lord at all times. Let's read that together. Trust in the Lord at all times. One more time. Trust in the Lord at all times. All times. Not just some of the times. There are some times when it's easy to trust in the Lord. There are some times when it's easy to trust in God because we have no other choice. Salvation. You can't work your way to heaven when you've been convicted of your sins and you know you need a Savior. I'm going to trust in the Lord because I'm not living that perfect life. And sometimes there are times it's easy to trust in the Lord, and when he answers our prayers and when we see fruit from our labors, when our hope is surging and when we envision how God is just working and God is blessing, those are times that we say, I'm trusting in the Lord. But then there's other times. Times when things are hard. Times when we've prayed about things for a long time. Times when we have not seen God working and we have not heard an answer. And this anxiety and this worry grips our mind. We labor and labor and we serve, but it doesn't seem like anything's happening. And we're anxious and we worry about so many things that are obstructing our path. And it seems like it's impossible to move forward. It seems like it's impossible to continue on. And God wants us to learn to trust him when it's clear, but also when it's dark. God wants us to learn to trust him when seems like it's an easy path, but God also wants to trust him when it's a very difficult path. Faith in God is an abiding duty, something that we are responsible to do, but what a privilege it is to be able to say we can trust in him. He is worthy of our confidence at all times. And sometimes people think, well, trusting the Lord is kind of a passive decision. It's something I'm going to just be doing. I know I'm just going to say, I'm trusting in the Lord, but also I got to do this, this, and this. I'm trusting in the Lord in the background of the situation. Of course I'm trusting in God. What else? What other choice do I have? But then I'm going out and I'm not living a life that's trusting God. I'm not living a life that God can bless. I'm not living a life that shows that I'm trusting him. I'm exhausting every other option. I'm exhausting every time to try to figure out how to work things out and try how to make things right on my own instead of really having confidence that God can really take care of the situation. Oh, yes, of course, we're trusting in the Lord, but we say, I just need to. Think about how the Bible pictures trust. Even in this book of Psalms, there's so many different things. In Psalm 7:1, O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute and from me and deliver me. Psalms 9:10, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Psalms 11:1, in the Lord do I put my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain. Psalm 16:1, preserve me, O God, for in thee do I, and he uses this word over and over, put my trust. Put their trust. I put my trust. It is something that I have confidence in, and I am taking this, and I am placing that in the Lord. But not just in some situations. The Bible says here in verse number 8, he says, trust in the Lord at all times. When you are besieged by trouble, when you see the darkness all around us and even sometimes inside of us, and when it seems like there is nothing but fightings that are going around, place your trust in him. Think about what it says in 2 Corinthians 7:5. For when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Listen to this last phrase. Without were fightings, within were fears. He's saying that there was trouble on every side and that without there was fightings and inside there was fear. And when the darkness surrounds you and anxiety grips you, trust is not just some passive thing sitting in the background. Of course I'm trusting the Lord. I have no other choice but to trust the Lord. It is taking our trust and saying, God, here it is. I'm giving it to you, and I am trusting for you to take care of it. Now, this is not just a choice that happens once. This is a choice we must make over and over and over again. It's sort of like with forgiveness. The devil's going to bring things up in your mind all the time. You know, forgiveness is forgiving, forgetting, not bringing that back up. You know what? You're going to keep on remembering it over and over. But that's where I think that 70 times 7 comes in, is that every time I think of it, I'm going to continue on forgiving because I made that choice to release that person from the obligation that they have. This is the type of trust that God's talking about in Proverbs chapter 3. When he says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. To lean not to our own understanding doesn't mean that we dismiss our ability to reason. Does not mean that we do not rely on reason. It means that we rely on Jesus instead of relying on ourselves. We rely on the fact that he says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thy own understanding. Doesn't mean that we make absent-minded decisions. Doesn't mean that we just clear our mind and just say, I'm just going to forget about it and not worry about it ever again. That doesn't work. The problem's still there in front of you. Is when we learn to trust the Lord with all our heart and we lean on to our own understanding, that's when we take those things and we give it over to the Lord. We make a conscious decision to put my trust in the Lord in all things. It means that Jesus is Lord of our lives and we're going to do what he's instructed us to do. Sometimes we might not understand. Sometimes we might have to endure circumstances out of our control, but we choose to instead give those over to the Lord. The good thing about trusting the Lord is that, and there it goes again. Isn't that wonderful? So, I don't think it likes me when I walk around, so we'll use this microphone here tonight. So it was doing it a little bit this morning. We're trying to figure out what's causing it. The good thing about trusting in the Lord, as opposed to our own understanding, is that He becomes our stability. We're going to look at this in just a minute, but when he says God is a refuge for us, it means that we can place ourselves in his care. He is our shelter. He is our provision. He is who we can trust. When we're depending upon him and we're giving this over to the Lord and we're doing everything we know we're supposed to, we can leave it to the Lord and say, that's on God. I'm following the Lord. He's given me this. And and sometimes people say, well, that's what the Lord wanted me to do. If it's contrary to scripture, it's not what the Lord wants you to do. Our emotions become overwhelmed, and sometimes we turn around and do things that are wrong. But we must remember that external sources of strength, they can be removed. We're still standing strong in our faith when everything else is stripped away from us. Think about it. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So it's the idea that I am making a conscious effort that, yes, there's hardship and there's hard time, and I'm trusting the Lord. If you read verses 1 through 7, it talks about the difficult time that the psalmist was going through. It talks about how David was dealing with many issues time and time again. And these are things that we must remember. Life is tough sometimes, and you're going to have things that's easy to worry about, things to be easy concerned about. But the Bible is saying, and here, this is the way that David says, he gives instruction, trust in him at all times, ye people. He is giving his trust. If you look at verse number 1, David speaks about, truly, my soul waiteth upon God. He's talking about how God has helped him and seen him through. From him cometh my salvation. Verse 2, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. My soul, wait thou only upon the God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. So he speaks about in 1 through 7 all the things he was dealing with and his response to what God was to him. So in verse number 8, he comes to the spot and he says, trust in him at all times. When it's referring to all times, yes, that means every single time. No matter if it's your finances, no matter if it's being a witness, no matter if it's forgiving, no matter if it's dealing relationships that are difficult and hard, no matter if it's taking that next step of faith, no matter if it means having a testimony in front of others that are not living for God, it means taking a stand. We talk about that with young people. You need to take a stand in school. Sometimes we need to take a stand and do what's right. We need to live for him. Once again, it needs to come from the Lord, not from our own emotions. It comes from God, and we trust in him. You think about it. It's important to let God lead and direct your life. Anyway, I played games before like this when I was a young person. As a teenager, they blindfold you. And then you have to walk through a course and somebody's giving you directions. You're really hoping the person over there that's giving you the directions is paying attention and they don't want you to run into a wall. And normally it's a race. Normally it's something that you're there. Okay, you go to the left, you go to the right, you got to duck down, you got to step over. And it's kind of a fun game, but there's a couple problems doing it with teenagers. Teenagers are laughing and having a good time at the person sitting there and their blindfold tried. They're not paying attention. They'll sit there and they'll guide you for a few steps. You're doing well, and they'll get distracted. They'll look at that team or they'll look at that team, and man, you're running right into the wall. Or you got someone that's a really good friend of yours and they think it'd be funny if you tripped and fell. Or someone who doesn't like you and they do it on purpose. That's having confidence that that individual is going to be able to navigate you through this maze and through these different obstacles to get to a point where you succeed and you win the race. And it's the same idea that with God, we're placing our trust in him and we're asking him to lead and guide through our steps. Yes, maybe we'll not blindfold it because we're making a conscious decision, but at the same time, we must learn to place our trust in him, and we put our complete trust in God, and we let him go and give you step by step. One of the verses we looked at already this year, blessed is a man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be like a tree planted by waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh.
But her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. I love that phrase, and shall not be careful in the year of drought. When it seems like it's dry everywhere else, God can lead you to that rock. He can lead you to that spring. He can refresh you. You don't have to sit there and say, the world's gone too bad. Things are too hard. We can't serve God. We can't make a difference. God can do what he wants, when he wants, and how he wants to, whatever it is in this world. And we just trust him with that. We don't have to worry about, well, what if this happens? And what if that happens? What if this person says that? And what if the world explodes? It's God's in control. It's not our concern to be worried or anxious about those things. It's trusting in him and trusting in the Lord, but not just at certain times. Trust in him at all times. And you see the next phrase. Trust, I think verse 8, it says, trust in him at all times, ye people. I think that's grouped together. I like that next phrase. And it's not something that's probably often talked about, but it says, listen to this. It says, pour out your heart before him. It says, pour out your heart before him. Do you have a friend like that where you can pour your heart out to? I mean, just fully and freely share the heart that you have, maybe the fear. Sometimes we don't do that because we're fear of being misunderstood. Sometimes we don't share our heart with everyone because we think people will judge us. Sometimes as a pastor or someplace, sometimes when you're in leadership, if you say something, then you're concerned it might turn around and bite you sometime. But it's saying here, if God is a friend that we can just pour our heart out to. And I have some friends that I feel comfortable expressing and pouring my heart out to. And the Lord's blessed me with a few friends like that. And I can speak freely with, and I don't need to feel like I'm going to defend my perspective. They'll be honest and truthful. If they think I'm wrong, they'll help me out and things like that. But at the same time, if I'm going through something, I can share it with somebody. I can be open and I can be free. It's not somebody saying, go, well, what about this? And what about worrying and being anxious? I just want someone to listen. And God is a friend with whom I can fully unburden my soul. You don't have to worry about weighing him down. Sometimes I don't like bringing it to people that are in the situation because it's a burden they have to carry. And I'm not interested in that. I want God to carry the burden. Sometimes others do carry our burdens for us, obviously. But you don't weigh him down with your confession of sin or your burdens. He will never push you away because of something you said or something you shared. In fact, he knows everything that you're going through before you even tell him. And yet he still tells you, hey, come share it with me. He still says in his word, pour out your heart before him. He knows it before you tell him. He still invites you to share. He has the ability to lift your spirit and meet the deepest needs of your heart. So pour out your soul before him. Before church, I was texting somebody who was struggling with some things, and they were talking, and I told them what I was preaching on, and I mentioned the verse, and I says, pour out your heart to him. He's the one that, and he is, I wrote, and I says, he's the one you can trust. He's the one that understands. He's the one that knows what you should do, and he's the one that can give you rest. And so it's take a vessel of yourself, turn it upside down, give him your thoughts, give him your desires, give him your fears, give him your anxieties, hide nothing from him, confess your sin, stand knowing that he is ready and willing to forgive as we confess and we forsake it. Believing that if there's something there that God desires for me to know and change, he will. Share your needs, present them to him. Tell him about your worries. Tell him about those things that you're seeking for and that you do not have peace about. Think about in Psalms 139, he talks about, oh Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Over the next 16 verses, David describes how God knows everything about him, including his whereabouts, his activities, and even his thoughts. He describes God's care in creating him and the greatness of God's presence to develop him. Is it any wonder then that David at the end says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. When we pour our hearts out sometimes, what will happen is as we're talking and speaking to God, we can realize that God will bring to our hearts sometimes, hey, this is an area that you're struggling in that you should fix. Just like a good friend, if I pour everything out, they're not going to judge me. But sometimes they'll say, hey, can I stop you there? That's not the way I would have done it. They're not judging me, but instead they're being honest and trying to be helpful. As we pour our heart out to the Lord, we can realize God is a safe confidant. You can empty your soul before him and earnestly place your trust in him. In fact, the very the process of pouring out your heart before God actually builds your trust in him. It's exactly what the anxious, frazzled soul needs. When's the last time you went before him and just said, I'm overwhelmed. God, I need you. I need to go to that rock. He is the one I can trust. He is the one who understands and knows everything that's going on. He's the one that knows what I should do. And he's the one I can find the rest in. Next point, number three, and you already know what it is. Not only is it trusting him at all times, ye people, point two, pour out your heart before him. The third thing is God is a refuge for us. I like that. It's not just a refuge for me. He's a refuge for us. It's something that David is saying that I have experienced it in verses 1 through 7. And he talks about in verse number 1 and verse number 2. He says in verse 2, he's only my rock and my salvation. He says, I've trusted in him. He is the thing that has never changed. He is steady. He is stable. He is someone I can depend upon. No, we do not know exactly when David wrote this psalm. Some people think it's when Absalom was there, and some people think it was when Saul. And there was many times when David could have faced a time of anxiety and worry. Have you ever been chased by a king with hundreds of men trying to capture you and kill you? No, probably you haven't. There are times, have you ever had your child take away your kingdom and searching out there to try to kill you? No, you haven't. There were times when there was anxiety and worry that David could have allowed to come over him, but he was relentlessly hunted by Saul. He was relentlessly hunted by Absalom. Many times there was people that were seeking his life. He endured family strife. He endured disappointments. He endured his adult children doing things that were inappropriate and sin. Yet in all these things, David knew that the Lord was his rock. He was his only sure refuge. He was the shelter. He hid himself in God. He says, the whole world can go crazy, but I can find that place of safety. And there are sometimes, maybe it's back in your childhood, maybe it's somewhere today, that you feel safe. Sometimes when there's a tornado coming, they will tell you to go to a certain part of the house because it's the safest part. Sometimes when they'll tell you if a bomb happens, you can go to this bunker because it's the safe spot. This is what the Bible is saying here. When God is your refuge, he is your shelter. He is your safety. He is the one you can depend upon. And not only is it for me, he says it's a refuge for us. It's personal. And it's amazing that as David was responding and talking about how God was his refuge, if you look in verse number 6, he only is my rock and my salvation. Verse number 7, in God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. So he's saying over and over here that this is my place of safety. So when we begin to worry and become anxious and don't do what we're supposed to, we can no longer run to God because we know that we can't count on that safety because I'm not doing the way I should. An unsaved person doesn't know what it's like to run to that safety. Many times they feel like I have to run from God because I don't believe in him. I don't trust in him because I don't believe and trust in him. I can't depend upon that. A person who's living for God can run and find shelter amongst his place of safety in that rock, underneath that wing, however you want to describe it. But a person who may be saved and not doing things God's way feels like he has to go the other way because I can't be trusting in the Lord and can't have him protecting me and giving that place safety because I'm worrying. I'm doing things my own way. I'm doing it according to my plan. In talking about this psalm, there was a quote. I'm looking for the quote. I can't see it in my paper. I guess I should follow my notes better. And it says, well, Amy Carmichael wrote, not specifically about this psalm, but talked about how God was her refuge and how to fix their heart on the Lord. She wrote, "Blessed are the single-hearted, for they enjoy much peace. If you refuse to be hurried and pressed, if you stay your soul on God, nothing can keep you from the clearness of spirit, which is life and peace. In that stillness, you know what his will is." How can we know what his will is if we're worrying and anxious and doing things our own way. If we will learn to trust him in all the times, if we will pour our heart out to him and say, Lord, I am making you my refuge. You're the one I'm trusting. You are the one that I desire. Spurgeon was the one I was looking for, wrote this quote about Psalm 62. When this psalm was composed, it is not necessary for us to know, since truth, faith is always in season and is usually under trial. We don't know when this was happening, but true faith is always in season. No matter if it was Absalom, no matter if it was the time with Uriah, no matter if it was the time with Saul, no matter if it was the time of whatever it was, true faith is always in season and usually under trial. What did God as his rock and salvation and refuge mean to David? It was a place of stability. It was a place of safety. It's where I can turn to. It's where I can reside. It's where I can trust. You can say whatever you want and allow whatever things that happen to me. I am allowing God to work and move, and I'm trusting in him. No matter what that person says, no matter what happens here, I have done what I believe the Lord wants me to do, and I'm not going to worry about it anymore. I'm going to give it over to him. I have completely and truly done what I believe is right. Now, sometimes someone might come to you and show you in the scriptures, you may think this is right, but this is what the Bible says, and you might have to get it right because our emotions are real. But we must remember that with God, and we do things his way, there is stability, there is safety, and when difficulty arises, enemies assault us, our foot may seem like it's slipping, David could just run to the Lord. And in God, there's security. In God, there's protection. In God, there's rescue. In worry, there is none of those problems. In anxiety, there is none of those problems. In being overly concerned about things, you know what that is? Does it help the situation? Not at all. But if you turn to the Lord and you run to him and say, I'm giving this over to you and I don't want to pick it up again, you can find safety. You can find stability. An unsaved person does not have this privilege. A saved person has the ability to run to God. And that's what he's encouraging them. Make him your shelter. And we come to the conclusion. Everybody says amen. And that's that last word, Selah. Selah. So what does the word Selah mean? There's a couple of different possible definitions that's there. Some thinks that it's talking about a musician's pause. Some thinks it's talking about rest and reflecting to pause. I think they kind of intertwine a little bit together. But what most people would say is take time to think about this. Take a pause and reflect on what's being said. So I'd like for you to do that for just a moment. Is take a pause and reflect on what's being said here. Are you trusting in him all times? Does worry and anxiety control your heart? Does it control your life? Not control might be the bad word, because many times we're like in the background. I'm trusting in the Lord. I got this. And I'm trusting the Lord. But then I'm doing this and I'm doing this and I'm doing this outside trying to fix everything. Instead, I'm really trusting the Lord and leaving things in his hand. Psalms 37:7 is one of my favorite verses when the Bible says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Rest takes time. Pouring your heart out to the Lord takes more than just 30 seconds. As we talked about in Sunday school this morning, considering your ways is not something considered. It's not something you can do super fast. You must take some time alone with God. When's the last time God spoke to you? And I mentioned that in Sunday school class, and some people looked kind of puzzled. And I was like, no, personally, when was the last time God spoke to your heart during a time of devotion, during a time of preaching, during a time he wants to speak to you? He desires to speak to you. It's something that it's there, and he wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. And so often we get so disappointed when things in the physical life do not work out, but we do not seem to care about it when the spiritual things aren't doing what they're supposed to. Let him work in your heart. Let him speak into your heart. That rest, it talks about a calming thought. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Rest takes time. Pour out your heart to him. Give it over to you, the Lord. Usually when we're anxious, we're rushed. Usually when we're anxious, we feel a hurry in our spirit. We don't take time to pause, and we don't take time to reflect. And we don't take time to say, am I trusting him in everything? Have I told him everything? Have I sought the refuge that he offers? Many times, if we don't take the time to think, we push harder at our goals. We work harder to try to fix things. We think we had to recover by doing successful things. But overcoming is not experienced through performance. When performance is the goal, we will just burn out. Rest and refuge, overcoming and revival comes through seeking Jesus. We don't seek him simply to have power for him to do more. We seek him to know him better. We seek to learn to trust in him in a greater way. And if we learn that our worship becomes the cure for anxiety and the cure for worry, it changes everything. When our hearts are no longer on the issues, our hearts are no longer on the relationship, our hearts are no longer on the hardship, our hearts are no longer on the whatever is causing the friction, the attitude, our heart is on him. I am resting in him. I am trusting in him. I've lifted my eyes to the one who transcends time and space and yet still cares deeply for my soul and my needs. As we fill our mind with the realities that God loves me and he cares for me and he sees exactly what I'm going through, I lift my heart to praise him. My anxiety that used to grip me weakens because my strength and trust in him builds. The rest comes through seeking him. Rest comes through worship, seeing who God is and believing and trusting in him. Worship, what does that mean? Believing God is worthy to set that worry down, set that anxiety down, and say, God, I'm trusting in you with it. Tonight, overcoming worry. You got a three-point message here. Trust in the Lord at all times. Pour out your heart before him. God is your refuge for us. But take time to think about it. Selah. We get so busy with so many different things because we get distracted. How often do we take time to rest in him? We take plenty of time to worry and be anxious, but we don't take time to seal it. Let's pray.